Further ado, the orphanage. How you doing?
Hey.
Boys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Very
good. Sorry we're late.
This segment's brought to us by two of my favorite things.
Texas Land and Cattle and?
Park Place Steak Mercedes.
Yes. Yes, a co-branding with me and you. Yeah, very nice. Good guys over there. So what's on your plate today? Give me something. I got to drive back from Thackerville. I want to be engrossed and entertained and locked in for every orphanage segment.
Well, you've got 3 full hours of it.
Yeah, we have 3 hours of...
No.
So how much did you prepare? 50% more because you have 50% more time?
I think they slept 50% longer.
What's 50% more of zero?
Zero.
Yes. So, yes, we did prepare 50% more.
I did email you. I emailed Davey a story that I saw, but
that's true.
I don't know if we'll use it.
You're going to do a best of the orphanage for a couple hours?
I think we're going to replay the Tony Romo interview again.
For the 90th time?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I forget I meant to ask you this. Okay, so you answered the phone, right?
Something like that, yes.
Did he call on the guest line?
Yes.
Or did he? Okay.
I didn't hear this. Romo called in?
Yeah, Romo called in during a hard line. But back when I was producing, you'd get some guys that would call in, but they wouldn't know the guest line number. And then you'd have to ferret out whether they were real or not.
Mm-hmm. What was his purpose of calling?
He was bored.
I didn't hear this.
Didn't want to change the kids' diapers. He was in the parking lot.
He had a day off and some time to kill and wanted to know if we wanted to have him on.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So, yeah, so the ticket's, promoting that incessantly because why not?
Huh.
So.
You've got to play the hits, buddy.
So you knew exactly who it was and everything, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The right voice. He said football.
He said football.
Yeah, he's a hell of a golfer.
He ain't bad.
No, he's pretty
darn
good. Not
a bad football player either, at least right now.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah, I'd say he's a better football player than a golfer.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll get it.
He's one of the 28 best football players right now. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, let's just say he gets paid to play football.
Yeah.
You don't get paid to golf.
Man, I hate to do this, but we gotta go.
Leave.
We're gonna get yelled at.
Did you guys stay up there last night, party it up?
You're letting Cat bully you, Danny.
Yeah, Cat's our fault. Don't yell at them.
Yeah. Yeah, we're taking over this segment.
That's gonna work.
Yeah. And we did. We did, Davey.
Oh, good.
They had a Blink 182 concert last night, so the crowd skewed younger.
It was an interesting crowd.
Did Craig crowd surf?
Would you have had any interest in seeing Blink 182?
Zero.
But he's a music snob, though.
Well,
they were popular.
I had just as much interest as he did.
I would have poked my head in for a quick second just to kind of get a look-see of what the scene was and then go back to the blackjack table.
Yep, this is terrible.
Okay, so we were conversing with a sweet young thing last night, and we were trying to figure out when they were popular. Was it she said 80s. I thought it was 90s.
No,
mid-90s. Mid to late 90s.
Yeah, she was saying 80s. She was
they were
cute,
in high school or junior high in the 80s.
She was hammered.
Well, if she was a young thing, then she's stupid and she has no frame of reference. Anything that happened before she was a teenager happened in the, I don't know, the 70s or the 80s.
Especially when she was.
She must have been hammered. She was talking to two 50-year-olds.
Well, she thought
young.
That
50,
there was money
bitch.
To be had there.
She might as well
stupid
be.
Bitch.
Yeah, so I even knew I was right on that one. I said, yeah, that was 90s they were something. But anyway, so that was the big crowd last night. But this place packs them in when they have a show.
I want to
go
Craig up
says
there.
When Willie Nelson sings up here, the casino is packed to the gills.
Matt and some Vietnamese guy.
Packed to the...
They do a free concert with this Vietnamese guy. Place is just... You can't find a parking space.
I wish they'd send us up there to take it all in on a Friday night, get up in the morning, do our show.
We could probably work that out as long as you're willing to mention golf once.
Sure.
I like golf. Yeah.
All right.
Put in a good
let's
word
go
for us.
Let's go talk golf.
All right.
Let's go talk golf. That's what we're
going to
do. We're going to do 3 hours of golf.
Oh, please.
You're a fod guy.
What do you think?
I would love
it. You know who cameras Craig more than anybody? He loves doing it. Georgie.
Oh, yeah?
Georgie brings out. You're a fod guy.
You're a fod guy.
He loves it.
Sweet Georgie.
He loves bagging on the weekends.
I think I'm going to have a little appearance on Friday this week, too.
Yeah, I was a little off.
Dang it.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Maybe the orphanage. I haven't seen the orphanage on an e-break ever.
Because no one pays attention to our show.
Because it's a flawless broadcast. That's why.
OK. Okay. Okay, prove it to me in the next 3 hours.
All right, you got it. Derek. Drive safe.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Here, how you were born, two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo spot.
Yes, we are, damn it. Sorry about that. 10:19. How are we going to fill the next 2 hours and 41 minutes? I have no idea. Because then we hand it off to the old race week.
Yeah, and then after the last track on the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD plays, it's SMU versus Texas A&M.
Got a little 30-minute pregame, and then kickoff at 2:30.
Right up there at Ford Stadium, just up the road.
Yep. You ever been?
To Ford Stadium? I think once.
Who are they playing?
I think it was TCU. Maybe the first year of Ford Stadium. I'd like to go more often. Mm-hmm. It's cool. They've got a good college town vibe going on over there. On that west side of 75.
What's this boulevard that I hear about?
It's, I don't know what the actual name of the street is. I don't know what the name
Daniel
of the street is.
Daniel or one of those. It sounds like something I'm way too old to attend.
No. Your eyes might fall out of your head.
Oh, really? It's that kind of thing?
Yeah. But it's that street that it's perpendicular to Mockingbird. Right next to that big Highland Park Baptist Church or Methodist Church or whatever.
Airline?
I don't know. Don't ask me to tell you the name of it.
I know a lot of streets, Dave. Lots.
But anyway, it's the main street between Ford Stadium and the big church over there, and everybody sets up and tailgates all along it, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we're supposed to. I hear that this cloud stuff is going to burn off, and we're going to have a high of 83 today. So that should be perfect football ball weather.
Sounds great. I wonder how much of a Aggie contingent you'll have. Is it going to be a 50-50 split at the stadium?
Corby said it should be about 60 to 65 Aggies.
Really?
Yeah.
In the last day or two, it's not like I've seen a bunch of, you know, maroon pickup trucks and Aggie flags and people wearing Aggie gear around town.
I assume that they're driving up now.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because I went to a show last night and ended up afterwards running by that whole area up there by SMU Boulevard, and the bars weren't full and you didn't see any maroon anywhere. So my assumption was that either they were hanging out elsewhere or they're just coming up.
There's a big RV caravan from College Station right now.
Coming up this morning. There's a lot of alum that live here.
True.
So those tickets, apparently pretty hard to get because the damn thing's been sold out for a while. A buddy of mine has season tickets and wasn't going to use them.
So you're going?
Yeah, gave me a pair. And good. I guess they're all good seats there because the thing's so small.
Yeah, but, what is it, 35?
Yeah, something like that. But I've got corner end zone seats, like 17th row up. So, and I've never been there. Never seen the Aggies before. Never seen the Aggie band. I'm pretty excited about that. Should be a good time, Dave.
I'm jealous.
College football Saturday. Now, after the game, I bet that area is going to be a nightmare.
You're probably right.
Like they're opening up the parking lot or closing off the parking lot to the Barley House and making it
full-on. They're preparing for full blown out party afterwards.
They are expecting it to be like St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know. That may be a little.
I mean, just like the business that they're going to do. Not that they're going to close off Yale and fill the streets, but by the way, why was that street ever named Yale? Why would you name it after another college?
No
when
idea.
You have your own college there. I know they ultimately changed it to SMU Boulevard, but took you long enough.
Yeah, that made no sense. And then you made all those businesses have to change their stationery.
Yeah. That's expensive, unless you do that website where you get free business cards.
I get those.
You get those?
Uh-huh.
You design your own, go on there and make it yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just says Dave Lane, Radio Spare.
No, it doesn't. So how are you feeling about our momentum and energy so far?
Horrible, honestly.
Well, see, that's the thing is, this is a slow burn today.
Well, yeah, we can't...
I don't want to be...
We can't go bursting out of the gates because we're going to hit a wall and we're going to still have an hour and 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
So it's better for us to just be pretty terrible from the beginning and then gradually get a little bit better to, like, kind of tolerable,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to be kind of good at first and then being really awful.
And just kind of... dribble near the end a little bit.
Right.
Just a little dribbling.
Just a little glistening pearl.
Yeah. Just finishing off your day. Right up to race week, which we're all looking forward to. At least I can speak for myself.
All right. Coming up next,
hold on
I
a
want
second.
What?
Let's see what this guy wants. Oh, he hung up.
Damn. All right, coming up next, you attended a Dallas Society function.
I did not do anything.
You tried to click on a phone call, and then we got a dial tone.
Well, I don't know how to click on phone calls on this thing. What do? Hit the green button? You know what happened? It was ringing. I hit the green button to answer it, and by the time it engaged, which it takes like 3 seconds after you push the thing to bring a call up, the guy had hung up. So when it engaged, it was just nobody on the line. So we got a dial tone.
So I guess we just need to practice.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, you were saying some stuff.
Could this be worse?
There was some words coming out of your mouth.
No.
And I'd like to hear what they were going to be.
Can we go back to top of the hour
Mm-mm.
and just pretend that this didn't happen?
Well, you want me to get the tee box back on?
Okay, can we go back to 10 after?
We can start over next if you want.
Yeah.
We'll just play the theme and
over. Dave, let's just pretend that the last 26 minutes didn't happen.
Get some smelling salts in here.
Maybe it's over.
Defibrillator.
I'm going to go tinkle.
Defibrillator.
Fibrillator?
Fibrillator.
I'm going to go tinkle.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do some sprints in the hallway, get my heart rate up.
Did you get any coffee yet?
Yeah.
Doo-doo and TT.
You're going to doo-doo and TT.
Yeah, and I already drank my coffee.
Okay.
But I'll drink some water. I'll hydrate.
Uh-huh. Maybe a few push-ups.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little blood flowing. Do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Maybe I'll crack your back, and you can crack mine.
Okay.
And then I'll crack yours again.
Okay.
And then we'll... Indian leg wrestle.
Then we'll get some women up here.
We'll get rubbed down.
Get some full body massages by women.
So we're going to do all of that in this commercial break, and then we're going to start the show for real next on The Ticket.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
Good morning, it's 10:35 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to the Orphan. Start over.
The whole thing?
Yeah, start over.
Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
Good morning. It's 10:36 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Orphanage, Dave and Danny, with you until 1 o'clock today. We're so happy that you decided to join us for this 2.5 hour now time waste.
I don't get the feeling that anybody has really joined us. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of people left after our opening segment.
I don't remember that.
There are options in this market, Dave, for radio entertainment, and you got to grab them early. I think we missed our opportunity.
It was all just a dream.
It's okay. Those that stuck with us are the people that we really want to talk to.
That's right.
Those other people can just go to hell.
Yeah, they can go to hell. So I feel recharged.
Yeah, I feel really good now.
All right, let's get into a little bit of content, shall we?
Yes.
Would you like to?
Yes, because you...
Myself.
Because you're kind of a high roller. You're part of a highly rated primetime radio show.
Mm.
You are in many bands.
One, two.
You're really hot.
I've had it, dude.
So you are kind of a socialite. You get out to lots of really awesome events. I see you all the time in Paper City and D Magazine.
See, now you're just being silly.
And last night, you got to do something really kick-ass.
Anybody could have done this. But I don't know if you were aware of this, but the city of Dallas has spent $40 million on a brand new performance hall down in the Arts District.
Because we didn't already have enough.
Well, we have so many things now. We've got the Winspear Opera House. We have the Wiley Theater, I believe.
Right.
We have this new Dallas City Performance Hall.
Don't forget about the Meyerson.
There's obviously the Meyerson, which is wonderful. But they're all different levels of occupancy. And this is the small one.
Okay.
It seats about 750, which is about maybe about 300-400 less than the Granada at its capacity.
So is it multi-purpose? Is it for like music and plays and conferences
yes,
and whatever?
It's multi-purpose for sure. I think it's more for ballet, maybe some symphony stuff like that, plays, whatnot, because the stage is huge. Well, I went last night and they did their grand opening with some musical performances. They were going to showcase that element of what they're capable of. You had Sarah Jaffe that did her own. There were two different shows. Sarah Jaffe did a show at 7 o'clock, and then you had a triple bill of longtime Dallas gospel soul band, The Relatives. They started things off at 10, followed by Pleasant Grove, longtime Dallas iconic rock band, and then Saren closed out the evening. I would say that it was maybe... probably over half full. It seemed like there was about 350 people there for it.
So they couldn't sell it out for the grand opening.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, I guess not. But this is all local stuff. I mean,
right.
You might take a little, I don't know, maybe a little bit bigger star power to fill it up to capacity. But I was glad that I was able to get in and get a seat. It was a general admission. Now, the thing about the place is... As goes with any venue, it's going to take them some time to figure out their kinks, to dial in their sound system, to figure out their lighting, what works, what doesn't work. But for an inaugural showing performance, it was pretty damn good.
They sell booze in the place?
They did. There were several kiosks out selling liquor and beers and wines, fine spirits of your selection, Dave.
Hmm. I'm curious to see how they do utilize it. I mean, are they going to try and book it like a concert hall? Are they going to try and have regular shows? And I mean, because it's much smaller than House of Blues or Granada, you know, I don't know, like, what would be a similar sized venue that would be an option for a band?
For a band to play at?
Yeah.
That's going to hold around 800 people. I guess maybe like whatever the old Gypsy Tea Room is now, Prophet Bar.
Or the Door,
I guess. That place is probably, but that's more like a club. I mean, this is, I mean, it's brand new. It's super nice. The thing about it is, though, that if I had a criticism, it would be, I don't think the PA is quite powerful enough. I don't think it was quite loud enough to do a full-on rock band, because you know how Pleasant Grove, that's a quiet, loud band. And when they get into their big crashing moments, you want to feel it, and it just kind of wasn't quite there. Like, oh, come on, just a couple of more power amps and a subwoofer, and this should be able to be sufficient. So I thought the sound was just a little bit weak, and the place itself, it's kind of austere and antiseptic, and maybe that's just because it is so brand new. But the wood, it's all wood. I mean, even the seats are wood, so the acoustics in there are phenomenal. It sounds amazing. But it's kind of light, you know, it doesn't have like a warm, intimate, cozy feeling that you would expect from, a venue that seats only 750 people.
Pretty modern decor.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty modern. I don't know. I guess I want to see some nostalgia in my theaters, but this is a modern. I mean, it's just like everything else down there.
They just need some curtains from Z Gallery.
Yeah,
maybe a elephant statue from Pier 1.
There you go. But
just warm
up
a little bit.
When the Kessler first opened, I had a lot of the same criticisms of that place, but a lot of that can be treated by lighting. And I just think that I think during the performances, it was just too well lit. It just didn't create an atmosphere of closeness that you should have in a small theater like that. Now, the Kessler's got it completely dialed in now. I mean, that place, what Paul Quigg has done with that sound system, it's one of the best in town for a venue that, you know, of that size. And the way that they've really figured out their decor there, and it's got such an awesome, intimate, warm feel. It's the best listening room in Texas, I would say. It has to be. So good. If you've never been to the Kessler Theater, find a show that you want to see and go there. It's incredible. But I think they'll dial this in. It's going to take them a little time, but I think there's a bright future for the Dallas City Performance Hall.
And it spills out into that plaza that it faces out to the AT&T Windspear.
Yeah.
With that kind of reflecting pool.
It's right there on the corner of Ruth and Flora.
Okay.
Right across from... Arts Magnet.
And is it the last piece of that puzzle down there?
That's a good question. I don't know what else they could do. I mean, there's so much cool stuff down there, and man, it was really cool, cuz there was a good buzz on the streets. I mean, cuz I think there was something going on at Windspear, there was something going on at Wiley, so you had a lot of foot traffic walking around that whole area.
I think that
that's what they want.
I
they
think
want
the
to be
one
able...
last thing they want to do mm-hmm. is that along whatever that is, Ross.
Yeah,
there's that one empty lot that it has, I guess, a parking garage underneath, but there's nothing street level. And I think they eventually want to put some apartments with, you know, street level retail there, because there's really not. Except for the stuff at One Arts Plaza.
Yeah, with the 7-Eleven building. And all that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a handful of things over there, but there's not a lot of stuff walking distance to do before or after
True.
The show.
That's about it. I mean, you got a couple of restaurants over there, I believe.
Yeah, or I mean, you could walk down towards DMA and the Fairmont,
mm-hmm.
and there's the Stephen Pyle or whatever. There's a couple of things on Ross, but there's nothing right there in the Arts District.
Yeah, you need a little snack emporium there.
Yeah.
Or maybe a good condoms to go, and the cigarettes cheaper. Those things come in handy after theater when you get your bitch all lubed up.
Yeah, or if you want to go buy a box of condoms and then wait out by the loading dock and try and hook up with a viola player.
Yeah. Because they're always real cute.
And then I guess... is it the end of September or end of October when they're going to open the Deck Park with Polyphonic Spree? Did you see that?
Yes. That's in the next couple of months, right?
Yeah. They're getting close.
That's really cool. That's like going to link that Arts District to like Uptown.
Yeah.
And I hope that there is, I hope they make it to where it's easily accessible by foot to go across those service roads of Woodall.
Yeah.
I hope that they make it easy to get across there to access it. And number two, I hope that there's a good amount of parking for that, because, I mean, where are you going to park if you want to come down there?
I have no idea. I guess they probably want you to take DART.
Yeah, because it's, I think you access it, you get there by trolley. Like, if you want to go down to City Place, you can take DART down there and then hop the trolley, and it's supposed to drop you off, like, right there at the park.
Yeah, but that's going to be fun. I forget the date, but I guess Owen Wilson is the kind of MC.
The master of ceremonies.
And the headliner is going to be Polyphonic Spree. It's going to be, a Saturday night coming up in October.
Well, it's not perfect, but it's something. And it's nice to see, you know, our city trying to move forward, trying to expand, trying to do cool stuff in our downtown area.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people, it is funny or curious when you read about the Dallas Arts District from newspapers elsewhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really envy it. And they think, you know, because it is the largest arts district in the country,
right?
As far as concentration, and so a lot of people think it's really awesome and it's a great thing that the city's doing. And then there are other people that think that Dallas.
Why are we getting this?
Huh?
Or they're thinking, like, why does Dallas get that?
Not necessarily that, but just why? Why did they concentrate everything in one area, and why didn't they spread these things out throughout the city?
Right.
And try and spread the wealth, but. It is something to be proud of.
It's two arguments. You know, you can side with either one. I think there's merits to both. I like having a concentration of stuff. That's to me, that's the whole point.
You've always told me how much you enjoy concentration camps.
Those words have never, ever left my mouth, and you know better than that. But I like the idea. My favorite cities in the world are ones where you can walk, where you can get out and walk around and do multiple things.
Yeah, and Dallas will never be a walking city.
No, but it is cool that if you do drive to an area and you want to do multiple things,
yeah, you don't have to get in and out of your car four times.
Yeah.
You can kind of try and do some multiple things in one stop.
Yeah, so in that regard, I do like the fact that it is all, you know, piled together. And it looks really cool at night, man. It's a really neat area. There's a bunch of cool stuff going on down there. Music, and I think the War Horse, the play that I think is going on at Windspear right now.
Yeah, that's supposedly awesome. It's
supposed to be amazing. And this stuff is not that expensive. You don't have to wear a suit. It's not all stuffy like you would imagine. It's not like going to Broadway.
By the way,
it's pretty affordable and it's really cool. And man, there's a decent art scene here.
By the way, speaking of ways to help transit in the city, Taylor Young, our friend from the O's,
yeah,
he and I had a great idea the other night.
I'm sure it was just inspired by sobriety too.
Because we were hanging out at Renfield's,
mm-hmm,
over in Uptown, and it was a random occasion for us to be on the west side of 75, and we had an idea that we're going to hijack one of the McKinney trolleys and jump the rails and take it all the way up McKinney and cross over at Monticello and go down Greenville.
Yeah.
And just, you know, carve a track in the pavement.
That'd be so great.
And so it'd be a loop all the way up McKinney, all the way down Greenville, and then across.
It's genius.
You know, at whatever fits you or something.
How awesome would it be if you had a trolley that went up and down Greenville Avenue?
It'd be amazing to be able to get from Uptown to Greenville,
yeah,
and not have to drive or, yeah, pay for a cab.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
So, you know, we'll work up our nerve, and then we'll put on hoods like Hell on Wheels when they're, you know, robbing the bankroll train.
Okay, I thought you were going somewhere else with it.
Not pointy hoods.
Concentration Camp Dave.
But we're going to put on hoods like burlap sacks with eye holes cut out, and we'll get six shooters, and we're going to hijack the McKinney trolley and jump the tracks and go down Greenville.
All right. Are we going to do that next?
No, we're not going to do it next.
We should at least come up with our scheme.
Okay, coming up next, I want to talk to you about a conversation I had at dinner last night, and I want to get your opinion on whether this is possible, whether it's true, and whether or not it's the most sacrilegious thing you've ever heard.
So your mama doesn't like Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. While your mama's so fat, her belly button doesn't have lint. It has sweaters.
We get all the second-rate comedy on weekends.
Yeah, I think
because those during the week are hilarious, right?
I think they've focus group test them on the weekends, mm-hmm. and if they're not god awful, then they put them in the rotator for the weekdays.
That makes plenty of sense. Well, it's 11 o'clock here on the Ticket. You're listening to The Orphanage, hour one completed.
Done.
Two more to go until
killed
we
it.
Hand it off to Richard Phillips.
Quack.
Dick Hicks and his NASCAR CD.
You know, when I look back at that first hour of our show.
And then we have SMU football.
Yeah, SMU A&M at 2. When I think back to the first hour of our show,
mm-hmm.
which is called The Orphanage.
Do you think fondly?
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of that new Corona ad where the cab pulls up on the beach,
yeah.
and the guy walks up to the bar, and he's in his business suit, and his friends ask him how it went, and he kind of gives him a sly look, and he says, "Crushed it."
So... the douchiest commercial of all time.
That's how I feel about our first hour.
Oh, really? You feel like we crushed it?
Uh-huh.
I think you're wrong.
Well, maybe we should get some Coronas up here and find our beach.
Yeah.
I found my beach, Dave, and it's sitting on this microphone next to you.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a riddle for you to figure out in this hour of the show.
I will live my whole life and never figure that out. Okay, I want to talk to you about why this was dinner conversation. I have no idea. I had some friends in from out of town, and including B-Team Manny, mm-hmm. who sends his regards, and he...
and his condolences.
Yes, and he sends you a warm invitation to Chili Bowl tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The annual chili cook-off is happening.
That's a good music bed for this segment.
Actually, it kind of is. Because my question, and again, I don't know why I asked this question, and I don't know why it was asked at dinner, but my question is, do you think Jesus ever had diarrhea? Because he is a man.
Uh-huh.
And Lord knows, at 1 A.D., you know, right when they flipped the calendar mm-hmm. from B.C. to A.D.
I'm following you so far.
You know that it was just nonstop diarrhea in Galilee.
Right?
Just because, things weren't very sanitary. You know, you probably had food poisoning quite often. And that kind of ethnic food always gets you anyway.
That's true.
So, I mean, and he was a man. He was flesh and blood, but he was also the Son of God and divine. So, did he...
So, what are you asking me that a man that had the power to turn bread and fish into enough food to feed the multitudes... If he could have the power to do that, to walk on water...
Yeah, to turn water into wine.
Yes. Then he would have...
Could he turn diarrhea into solid?
Could he stop? Like, could he know that this is about to happen and use his mystical powers to keep that from happening to him?
Right, like, you know, he would, like... would spit in the dirt and make it into a paste and rub it on a blind man's eyes, and then the blind man could see. So maybe if he felt rumbling in his stomach, he would make a little paste and kind of rub it back there.
Yeah,
he could heal his GI tract.
He could heal leprosy.
Yeah.
Remember that?
He could stick people's arms back on their body.
He raised somebody from the dead. He can stop diarrhea.
Die.
Now, whether he would
Did he go at all?
Well, that's another good question. But would he use his powers to stop his own diarrhea? Now, look, he didn't use his powers to spare his own life, which he could have.
Right.
Because he gave the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins.
He knew that his father sent him to earth to suffer for us, and so maybe that included diarrhea.
I think it probably did.
Would he have his own Shai Anderson on the sidelines too?
Yeah, I'm sure, like, Peter...
What are you saying, that Shai is one of Jerry Jones's disciples?
No, doing the same thing that Shai did for Jerry.
But cleaning his glasses?
Not exactly.
You're asking if one of the disciples would wipe for Jesus.
Is that what you're saying? I'm sure that sweet Jesus had some intestinal issues in his 33 years on this planet. I mean, look, it's the great equalizer. We were created in his image.
But like,
I've had diarrhea. I'm not going to pretend that I haven't. So I am to assume that at least once in his holy life that our Lord and Savior produced a soft stool.
Because
you mark that, I will freaking kill you.
Because God wanted him to have the full human experience.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, I'm going to go with
that. So we're going to say that he did produce bowel movements, and that sometimes they were loose.
It's 11:06 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. If we have jobs when we get back, maybe we could talk a little Rangers baseball and other things in the major leagues. Dave, what do you say about that?
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
But God and the Holy Spirit never did.
You could use some baseball.
What's going on?
I don't know. What did happen there?
What are we doing? Flight operator here.
Okay. No worries. It's not like we're perfect in here.
You just told me something I'm very happy about.
What?
That we're going to do my new favorite segment that we do after we talk Rangers, which is coming up in mere seconds. But after we get done talking Rangers, we're going to do a special edition of Eating Out with the Ticket Glutton. Yes.
Yes.
Your new favorite foodie segment.
I wouldn't call it a foodie segment. But I moved to a different part of town, and I have been exposed to new things, and, mm-hmm. and there's something
you're into
is currently making my fat tummy very happy.
And then while we're in that segment, I want to ask you, because tomorrow is chili bowel,
mm-hmm.
and I want to ask you some chili questions, because I did enter for the first time last year.
Yes.
And I didn't know this was...
gave you back your saucepan.
I know, thank you. I did not realize this was happening, or I would have prepared and tried to, because I've got some new tricks up my sleeve.
Okay.
But there's no way I'm going to have time to do this. So
yeah, I'm on the fence as to whether I'm going to have an entry.
Okay.
Because I always do extremely poorly.
Yeah.
This is year six mm-hmm. of Chili Bowel, and the standings are 2-2-1. Two wins for Dale, two wins for Manny, and one win for Craig.
Right.
In our little...
It's your little
gay
football-watching circle. Chili cook-off.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's delicious.
You know who the dark horse is this year?
No.
John Pettigo of the O's.
Oh, really?
He had a debut entry last year that was very strong.
Interesting.
And I believe he's going to enter again.
Okay. Damn, I wish I had time, man. I'd love to put something together. All right, well, let's segue from chili, from diarrhea to chili to baseball. You see the natural progression there?
Yes.
So do I. All right, you did not have the opportunity to watch Rangers baseball last night.
No, I was having intelligent dinner conversation.
Oh, by the way, did our Lord and Savior ever have diarrhea scenario was discussed over Mexican food last night, in case you were wondering, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
now.
That's probably why it came up in the topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you probably
looked up and saw like a statue of the King of Kings, and then looked down at your plate of chili con carne enchiladas and just kind of combined the two. And then you decided you'd like to talk about that on the radio the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we're all grateful.
I wonder if any archaeologist in the Middle East has ever found fossilized Christ leavings. And if they did, would that be a relic and they would build a temple around it?
That's where the term holy crap came from.
Good point.
Right?
Good job, KT. Thank you. All right,
so,
Rangers.
So Yu Darvish last night takes the pill on the hill. What's up with that? You like that?
I like your sports
lingo. See what I did there?
Yeah. You're so off the cuff and cool.
Looked fantastic. Absolutely looked fantastic. Got when he did get into trouble, he does what he does and gets out.
Yeah, he's really bared down. This was his third amazing start in a row.
Fourth solid start in a row. And it's so perfect to see him seemingly figuring it out towards the time that you really need him to.
Right. Everybody was afraid that he was going to wear down, and he's... It's like he's getting more and more comfortable and getting stronger.
Mm-hmm. You know what he did last night, Dave? He crushed it.
Crushed it.
Crushed it. The rest of the team crushed it in the bottom of the eighth inning with a nice 7-run output, capped off with a bases-clearing 3-run triple by Tiny E.
It was 2-1 going into the bottom of the eighth?
It was 2-1, and... I was a little concerned because if it had remained 2-1, you would have had Alexi Ogando closing the game because we saw what had happened the night before with Hot Dog not being able to record an out in his save situation after pitching on the third consecutive day. O'Hara was unbelievable, though, in the eighth. That was some amazing, amazing stuff. He did not throw one ball. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. But he is really asserting himself, and he'll be a key cog in that postseason bullpen.
Guys, I don't trust Mark Lowe. Don't trust him at all. Michael Kirkman, granted, he gave up a couple. Looked shaky last night in the ninth. But, man, when you have a 7-run lead, you're just up there trying to throw it over the plate. So I don't know how much you put into that. Kirkman, I don't really super trust him. There's only a few guys in that bullpen that I'm really feel confident about when they go on the mound, and Ogando being one of them, Mike Adams, although he struggled a little bit recently. But if you had asked me a month ago if O'Hara was on that list, no, not even close. But good gosh, those Japanese guys are dialing it in, man.
Yeah, since he came back from the DL, he's been great.
Well, this is good because I do think that the Rangers are going to make the playoffs. I believe they're going to win their division. And
even though the stupid A's won't go away.
Stupid A's won't go away, but look, as long as we win, we don't have to worry about them. They're not going to win every game from here to the end of the season. We do have a lot of head-to-head with them coming up.
They have we were just looking at the standings here in the break.
Not only will they not go away in our division, they have the second-best record in the American League.
Yeah, they are ahead of the three-team gaggle in the East.
Our division is outstanding when you really look at it, mainly in the second half, because the Mariners have the same record that the Rangers do after the All-Star break.
Yeah, the Mariners,
As pathetic as they were, they're seven back, or they're 7 under .500.
Yeah, I mean, they've dropped their last two, but so they were five games under, and they just dropped their last two to drop to seven under. But for a basement team in a division, granted, it's a four-team division, but for the last-place team to be sniffing 500 is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. But like I was saying, it's really good to see Darvish pitch like this because he's going to get a couple, maybe three more starts between now and the end of the season. And if he can continue this trend, you're looking at us having a guy that you can hand the ball to in game one.
Yeah, he's making his case to be your game one starter.
And you pair that with Dempster and then...
Then Holland or Harrison.
Holland or Harrison.
Whichever order you want to go with those guys.
Yep. Depending upon the lineup, you know, how right-handed or left-handed heavy the other team's lineups are, you have to take that into consideration. But I'm not saying it's the scariest beast in American League pitching staffs going into the postseason, but I feel a lot better than I did in June.
Yeah, name and reputation, just on paper, that's not necessarily going to strike fear into your opponent.
No, but we do get to watch these guys every day.
But results, they're in the last month and a half, all of those guys are really dialing it in and getting ready for the postseason.
I know you didn't get to watch the game, but something that Darvish... Now, the reason Darvish has been so successful, and I don't know, this isn't breaking news or anything, but the guy is commanding his fastball, and he's using it and trusting it a lot more than he had previously. He's throwing 70% plus fastballs. He's getting ahead of guys. I mean, so many times last night he had an 0-2 count on guys. And then later on in the game, about the second half, maybe the last three innings that he pitched, he started unloading this 60-mile-an-hour hook that was just befuddling guys at the plate.
Breaking guys' ankles.
It was hilarious. And he was throwing it any time in the count. He'd start off a hitter with it and get ahead. And the guy's like, what is this? He'd get a second strike with it. He'd only show it. I think he only used it twice in a sequence against one hitter. And both of those, the guy just completely fanned on it. And then he would use it as his strikeout pitch. He used it a lot. I haven't seen him use it that much since he's been going on this, I'm going to throw my fastball tear.
Right.
And committing to that. Now he's bringing in some of these junk pitches that he was relying on in the first half of the season. He's bringing those back in to use as change-ups and out pitches.
Right.
And it's genius.
And it's one thing to throw that stuff in the dirt and get guys to fan at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to drop it in for a called strike.
Yeah, he was doing both. He was throwing it for called strikes and guys just looking at it just and right there at their knees. And, yes, he was able to float him in there inside, breaking in, you know, down and in to left-handed hitters and just whiffing. It was like watching a guy try to hit a pinata.
Right.
It's like they were blindfolded. It was hilarious.
And even if he doesn't end up being your game one starter, and regardless of what happens in the playoffs, whether, you know, the Rangers get back to where they want to go and whatever Darvish's performance is in the postseason. At this point, roaring success. I mean, that move last December and then signing him in January couldn't have worked out better. Trading him for CJ, essentially, and the season
that CJ's
had.
Tell me how that's worked out in comparison.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many people that just weren't sure that it would translate, and I think there's no question. Now, I mean, he could get hurt, he could lose it next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know what the long-term outcome of this is going to be, but at this point, complete and total success.
The chemistry between him and Giovanni Soto is really fun to watch, too, because I don't know if it's any coincidence that Darvish has taken this turn for good. Maybe it is coincidence, but I don't think so. But getting Soto in here, that's when things started changing, is when he started working with Soto.
What a great deadline pickup that was.
Oh, my God.
Getting him off the trash heap, and he's been great for the rotation, and he's hit so much better than he was hitting for the Cubs.
There was one at bat last night, and forgive me for not remembering. I didn't take notes. I don't remember who the hitter was, but there was at one point last night where Soto, because Darvish was shaking him off a boatload last night. I mean, there were times where he would shake off three pitches. Like, nope, nope, nope. And then let's roll through him again. Nope, nope. And at one point, Darvish shook him off, I think, three times. They cycled through the signs again. He shook him off again. He tries to flash the signs. Soto's back there flashing the signs, and he's doing it violently, like, throw this pitch inside right here. Like, throwing his fingers down hard and like, patting his leg.
Totally finger-banging his thigh.
Yeah, banging his finger against his thigh.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like he was pissed, you know, like, dude, throw the pitch I'm calling for. It was really tense. So at that point, Darvish shakes him off again. He gets up, runs out to the mound, and I'm thinking, he's going to punch him. Soto is going to punch you in the face. So he goes out, and they exchange a couple of words, and Soto says something to him, and Darvish immediately just starts cracking up. So it's... I think they have a good relationship, you know. I think they have a good chemistry. I think that's a big part of why you has kind of turned the corner. And I don't know. It was just a neat dynamic to watch those two working together last night. I think they have a lot of fun together, Dave.
Like we do.
Yes. All right. Oh my God. Is it time? Really? Are we going to do this next? Eating out with the Ticket Glutton. You can rub one out with Rich Phillips coming up at 1 o'clock today with Racial Week.
Gross.
That's when he comes in here on, like, Tuesday and talks about NASCAR into a microphone and records it to a compact disc. And we press play. He is not here. He will not take your phone calls. This is not live. This was recorded days ago.
Yeah, if anything happened in NASCAR, if you're a NASCAR fan, you'll know more than what you'll hear during race week.
Yes, but by all means, listen.
Yeah, just reinforce things you already knew from 3 days ago.
Right. Well, the time has come. It is now time for Eating Out with the Ticket Glutton. This is where Dave's food discoveries are brought to the airwaves to be shared with you. We've already had our first segment of this a few weeks back, right? Is this our second or
third?
It's our
third.
Okay.
Because we've covered Maggiano's and the 2-for-1 entree.
Yes, where you take one home with you.
We've talked about the greatness of Chicken Express, which launched a counteroffensive from Raising Cane's.
And boy, Raising Cane's has just dominated.
Yeah, they brought us food. So,
they're supposed to be on their way up here, right?
I thought they were bringing us more chicken today, but it's not looking good.
No, because I feel like chicken tonight. And I want to take some chicken home and eat it. Eat it real hard and fast.
So you're not going to put it in a plastic bag and shake it up with breadcrumbs.
No, they've already done that for you at Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. So yeah, and then would the Bonavitas' new place over in the Design District be considered part of the Eating Out with the Ticket Glutton? Haven't we talked about that place? What's it called? Something Kitchen or?
Oh, that was prior to the invention of this segment.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to hear what you would like to share with us. What culinary delights would you like to wow us with, Dave?
Well, before I do,
yes,
Offsite Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it's not open yet, but they are turning that neighborhood services on Henderson into an Offsite Kitchen.
Very nice.
Yes.
Is that not doing well? Neighborhood Services Pub?
Tavern?
Okay.
Yeah, they closed it, and they're remodeling it, and it's going to turn into, because it's the same ownership,
mm-hmm.
but I guess they decided rather than doing another, I guess the upscale, you know, kind of gastropub thing, wasn't necessarily. I guess either they were bored with it or it wasn't doing what they thought it would, so they're going to go and turn it into an offsite kitchen, which is a lower price point and faster service and should be awesome.
It's really good, man.
It is really good.
It'll be nice to have that close where you don't have to drive all the way over to the west side.
Yeah, so that'll be coming to East Dallas soon.
Okay, let's get to your current fascination. Your current obsession.
Yes. Well, like I said, I recently moved, and I'm in a bit of an unfamiliar neighborhood. And so I have new resources available to me that weren't available before. And one of those is Dunkin' Donuts. You know, there just wasn't one near where I lived before. And
yeah, they're trying to make their presence known and put their stamp on the Metroplex.
Yeah, they're gradually popping up everywhere.
They are so everywhere when you get into New England.
Oh God!
I mean, there's more up there than there are Starbucks here. Mm-hmm. You think there's a Starbucks in every corner here? There is a Dunkin' Donuts. I think if you build a house, you have to build it a Dunkin' Donuts right next to it. Up there, they're everywhere.
Yeah, in New York City as well.
Yeah,
every corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have, I guess let me couch this in saying that every once in a while, not every day, but every once in a while, on my way to work, I want to reward myself
for
getting up out of bed and going to my job.
Okay.
It's
not like you worked out at the gym for 5 days
God,
in a row
no.
and now you're going to cheat on Sunday.
No, God, no.
You're rewarding yourself for not dying.
Yeah, I'm rewarding myself for going to my job where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a preemptive reward for myself. And so I enjoy getting some drive-through breakfast on the way to work. And I have several go-tos.
Okay, like, for example?
It's actually and I guess this falls under the auspices of eating out with the ticket glutton, because I encourage you to ask for this yourself, and maybe eventually it will become a menu item, and it'll be, you know, like the ticket glutton special. But if you go to Chick-fil-A for breakfast, get the spicy chicken biscuit,
mm-hmm.
and have them add egg and pepper jack cheese to it.
They'll do that?
Yeah. It's brilliant.
I didn't know they did eggs at Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, you can get they have tortilla things with egg in them, and then they also have bagels and biscuits.
Interesting. Okay.
But ordinarily the spicy chicken biscuit doesn't, it's just the chicken breast and the biscuit. There's nothing else on it. But just add egg and add cheese, and it's wonderful.
Genius.
Other stop I like to make, I don't know if you're familiar with the breakfast burritos at Taco Bueno.
I have never had breakfast at Taco Bueno. I know you have a Bueno in your neighborhood now, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bueno, I guess they've been doing breakfast for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years. They didn't always do it, but they started doing it. And they do breakfast burritos that are quite awesome.
Really?
You can get it with...
So they continue to be amazing.
Yes, you can get it with sausage or bacon, or I guess both. And you can also, they also have chorizo and brisket. And they're pretty big.
Yeah?
They're quite satisfying.
And they come with like a... hash brown puck?
Well, I don't ever get the hash brown. I'm not interested in the deep-fried hockey puck potato.
No. Okay, so Taco Bueno.
Yeah, but the new one, Dunkin' Donuts.
You know, Taco Bueno's slogan used to be? It was all actually in their song. It was, how did it go? One of life's most inviting rewards. It's a luxury everyone can afford.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
It was like in the late 80s, early 90s.
It's a horrible jingle, and no wonder they don't do it anymore.
Do you think it's a little superfluous for a fast food Mexican place
to say it's a luxury everyone can afford?
A luxury. No, it, not only that, it's one of life's most inviting rewards. Like, in this life, there are a few rewards that I would consider to be inviting.
Right.
I'm not going to put a fast food burrito on that list. And yes, most people can't afford it, but is it really a luxury? I mean, I love you, Taco Bueno, but bad song. I'm glad you got rid of it.
I've never even heard it.
Okay.
So I don't forgive them because I never heard it in the first place. I don't believe you.
It's true.
It existed.
It is true.
But my new breakfast favorite.
Okay, this is what we've all been building up to.
Yeah, my new breakfast favorite at the Dunkin' Donuts is the Big and Toasty Sandwich.
I've seen this advertised.
Yes.
Now you get, it comes with what? That's a big, thick, toasty thing. It's like Texas toast,
yeah.
Right?
It's two giant buttery slabs of Texas toast.
Oh, man.
And then seasoned egg. Might even be two eggs.
I think it's fried eggs, right?
Yeah.
Two of them and with some pepper on them.
So, yeah, salt and pepper on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then cheese.
Oh, you can't go without that.
And bacon, but not like strips of bacon. They're like, they're kind of a hybrid between Canadian bacon and regular bacon, where it's like a disc of bacon. I don't know how they core that out of the pig. You know, if they just have like a, you know, maybe cookie cutters,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they just dig into the pig's side and then slice it up real thin.
Maybe that's what they do. And you like this thick and toasty sandwich, huh?
Yeah, what is it?
Is it called Thick and Toasty?
Big and Toasty.
Big and Toasty?
Uh-huh.
I've seen the advertisement for this, and I'm going to be honest with you, Dave. It looks like crap on TV.
It depends. If you don't like breakfast or if you don't like grease, mm-hmm. then don't buy it. But if you're like me and you...
You love all of those things.
You like all of those things and you have a... do you ever make your own breakfast sandwich?
I'm not a big fan of the egg sandwich. I'm very particular about eggs. I can only eat them scrambled with or without. I like mixing the Migas peppers and the onions and tomatoes and whatnot in them. I'm down with that. Maybe some cheese. I usually don't want cheese. I don't like the runny. I don't like the texture of it. So when I eat eggs, I've got to have them minced, like chopped up in tiny, tiny little particles.
Uh-huh.
And then covered with about a half of a jar of black pepper and then a little bit of salt. I mean, I don't want it to even look or taste or resemble eggs at all.
And you eat them knife and fork or in a tortilla or doesn't
either,
matter?
Yeah, I can, yeah, knife and fork, tortilla, but I don't like the fried egg. Even if I get an omelet, I've got to crush it all up. I don't know why. I mean, I do like eggs, but I just like them that way. It's weird. So, no, I've never been a fan of the big, thick, eggy thing on a sandwich.
See, I have a soft spot in my heart, in my gelatinous heart,
uh-huh, for the egg sandwich.
For the breakfast sandwich. You know, they have a good one at Cafe Brazil with the, you know, the tomatoes on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But yeah, so to recap, Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Spicy chicken biscuit, add egg and pepper jack cheese.
Okay. You get two of those or one?
Just one.
Are they that big?
It's breakfast. You don't need to totally murder yourself.
Well, this sandwich you just mentioned sounds like a massive calorie bomb.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's like 800 calories or 1,200 calories. I'm sure George Dijon would...
Dijani.
No, sorry, Dijani.
Die!
Yeah, he wishes death on me and everyone who ever eats one.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got that, the Chick-fil-A biscuit.
Yeah, the breakfast burritos at Taco Bueno.
You say are just wonderful. They have brisket and what else?
They have,
chorizo.
Brisket, chorizo, bacon or sausage.
Man.
And they're not very expensive and they're quite filling. Really good. And then the big and toasty at Dunkin' Donuts. That's my breakfast rotation. When I want to reward myself for not dying.
For not sleeping until 1 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. on a work day.
Well, yeah, for going and actually pretending like I care and collecting a paycheck.
Oh, no. Has it come to that now? Oh, Dave.
That attitude permeates my entire life, so it's not exclusive to my job.
Okay, all right. I was worried about you for a minute, little buddy. Well, there you have it. The ticket glutton speaks.
Yes. Please, if you have things that you would like to see featured on Eating Out with the Ticket Glutton, just tweet me at Old Waver. We'll get it featured.
I sure did want to talk about chili, but we're out of time.
Oh, well. What do you want to do next?
I don't know,
because
man.
Because we have a whole nother GD hour.
Football ball!
I guess we should talk some football ball.
I will watch you talk about football ball.
No.
Coming up next, I'm going to look at Dave while football words come flying from his mouth.
Okay, let's look back at the past hour. I carried the last segment. With the ticket glutton.
But I asked important questions.
Then the one before, we shared the load talking about Rangers.
I like to call that swapping in the business.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we kind of turned the spout.
Right, you don't need to describe it.
To your face and then to my face.
The topic spout.
And then the segment before that was the Jesus doo-doo thing.
Which didn't need to be on the air to begin with.
So it's your turn. You need to come to the table with something.
All right. Coming up next, 888-787-1310. We're going to take your calls.
So your mama doesn't like Sports Radio 1310 to take it. Well, your mama's so fat, when she hauls butt, she has to make two trips.
You know what I haven't done today?
Doo-doo?
No. Read 40 liners.
Uh-oh.
I'm a bad host. Well, they're just cross promotes. Listen to everything on the ticket anytime you get a chance.
And always remember it.
Yeah. Definitely. But let's promote this. I think Alexis is part of this thing. She's had some call-ins or whatever those things are when you hear her voice during commercials. The Ticket and Academy Sports and Outdoors would like to see you at the annual Football Tailgate 101 event. Today from noon to 3, come out to the Academy Sports and Outdoors located at 1101 West Arbrook in Arlington for a chance to win VIP passes to a special autograph session featuring Emmett Smith, an ultimate tailgating package along with other games and prizes. Donovan from Bad Radio will be there with the Ticket Chicks from noon to 3 as well. For more information, visit your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and like us on Facebook. The right stuff. Low price, every day. Academy!
A follow-up from our Eating Out with the Ticket Glutton segment. Evidently, what I had read previously...
Where's our chicken?
It's not coming, Danny.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
The report that I had heard previously that the Neighborhood Services Tavern on Henderson was going to turn into an off-site kitchen was erroneous. That it actually is a new concept called Tried and True. And it looks like it's kind of maybe in between the off-site kitchen concept and the old Neighborhood Services Tavern.
Yeah, it actually, when I look at the menu, it looks like it's nothing at all like off-site kitchen. Because the price points are not favorable for a budget.
Okay.
It ain't cheap.
But it opened last night.
But it looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks great. It
looks really, really good. Let's just put it this way. If you want to get a steak burger and fries, which is a 9-ounce ground ribeye, fully dressed, smoked cheddar, caramelized onions, it's going to set you back $15.
And it is possible if you want the full pound bar burger.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a 2-piece chuck and brisket.
So okay. if you want the full pounder, and then you add all of the available options, which include like a bacon relish and a fried egg, and
avocado, mushrooms, peppers,
green chilies. If you add all of those a la carte toppings
on the full pound burger,
you could order yourself a $22 burger.
But it comes with fries.
But I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah, menu looks really, really good. I mean, it's Nick over at Neighborhood Services.
Yeah.
Whatever that guy touches
is a genius.
Turns to exploding flavor all over your mouth.
And exploding toilet leavings.
Well, that's just gonna happen no matter what. All right, let's get to fun stories especially one. I emailed this one to you because I knew we had an extra hour to kill today, so yeah. I figured we'd actually, I would produce some viable content. Now, we all remember the horrible, tragic story about the man who ate a bunch of bath salts in Florida, I believe it was in Miami, and ate a dude's face off, ate the face off of a homeless man. Are you with me on this?
Yes.
Do you remember that story?
It swept the nation.
Yeah.
Because it was like a zombie attack.
Now, I don't know.
They found him, his victim was unconscious, and he was just gnawing on the guy's face.
And I've seen photos of the guy's face post-gnawing, and it is one of the most gruesome images that I'll ever see. I mean, it's seriously, it is just tissue and blood and like an eyeball and some teeth.
Yuck.
I mean, the guy literally ate his face off. Now, he was on these bath salts, which I guess is some crazy new drug that's sweeping the nation that is like what I remember being angel dust when I was a kid that could give you the strength of 10 chimpanzees and make you think you could fly.
So bath salts is the handle, the street name for whatever this drug is.
Yes.
It's not literally like going into Bed Bath & Beyond and buying some bath salts and smoking them.
No, not at all. That's just the street name. That's that's a moniker.
Okay.
It's a pseudonym for some chemical.
Like blow.
Yeah, for some chemical that I can't pronounce. But you remember hearing those stories about people that were on angel dust or PCP?
Right.
Well, there was never really any documented evidence that I ever saw as a kid growing up of things like this happening. Well, it's happened again. Now, this happened in Pennsylvania. The story was reported on the 13th, which was 2 days ago, I believe. But really? My computer just locked up. Come on. Come back, little story. Well, a similar situation has happened again. They don't know. At the time of the story, they didn't know if the guy had actually taken bath salts, but it was a 20-year-old dude.
If you read the details of the story, there's no question that's what happened.
It has to be. But as far as them doing some type of toxicology report, now the guy in Florida, in Miami, that ate the homeless man's face off, the cops arrived and had to shoot and kill him to get him off of this guy. This dude was taken alive. But essentially what happened is this 20-year-old man, he parked his car behind a home in a neighborhood, got out, and stripped down to his underpants. Now, that's a common thing with a side effect of these drugs is apparently they make you super hot. Like, your body, you're like Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite.
When your face feel kind of hot.
Right,
I need to take my clothes off.
Yeah, you're constrained and you're hot, and you just need to remove your clothes and try and cool yourself off.
Yeah. Well, his next step was he tried to break into a home, but was unsuccessful. This is all according to witnesses in the neighborhood that were watching this guy. At that point, he removes his underpants, completely naked, just like the guy in Miami who ate the face off of the homeless man. He was completely nude. He continued down the street of the neighborhood, broke into an unoccupied home. Now, when he was inside, the cops say that he walked up to the home's second floor and jumped out the window, causing several injuries to his arms and legs when he hit the ground. We don't know if he broke his arm or scratched his arm.
So he's naked.
Yeah.
Runs up to what, third floor?
Second floor.
Second floor. He broke into the house?
Mm-hmm.
Breaks into the house, runs upstairs, and jumps out the window and most likely breaks limbs.
Yes.
And then he's limping around the street now.
Yes.
Covered in his own blood.
Yes.
With broken limbs, totally nude, with his eyes just bugging out of his skull.
This is when he encounters two females who are walking down the street.
Uh-oh.
Police say that the suspect tackled one of the females, causing injury to her, and he covered her in his own blood. Investigators also say that the suspect, quote, began to gnaw at the victim's head while screaming like an animal. So just like the guy in Florida, this crazed, naked, bloody man tried to eat someone's face.
Now, how did she get away?
The two females were able to escape, and they called the police. When the police arrived, they found the suspect lying in the roadway, covered in blood, and displaying, quote, delusional and confrontational behavior. They had to tase him, but it did not stop his behavior. As an EMT was trying to treat him for the injuries that I guess he sustained from jumping out of the building, he decided he would punch the guy in the face.
He punched the EMT?
Punched the EMT in the face. They finally, I guess, just had to constrain him or restrain him as in a pretty severe manner, whether straitjacket or cuffed and shackled.
The Hannibal Lecter cart.
Yeah, but they were able to get him to treat him. Apparently his injuries were really bad. And I think that's probably how the females were able to get away from him. He probably couldn't run with a, God knows, maybe a broken ankle. But they're saying it's not immediately known what, if anything, he was under the influence of during the ordeal. But he is facing several charges, aggravated assault, indecent exposure, and burglary, among others. And this all happened in a town called Hawley, Pennsylvania. Not sure exactly where that is. But it's in Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania. Maybe I need to try to find a follow-up on this, or if there has been any follow-up. But, God almighty, I got to get me some of those bath salts. This sounds like fun. Get naked, eat some girl's face, go to jail.
I did two
of those things last night. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you are considering bath salts and you know that there's whatever the percentage chance, I don't know what, like if you have a good trip, what's that like? But if you know that there's a pretty good chance
that you're going to take your clothes off and
be
eat
naked
a face
and trying to eat somebody's face, why would you ever do that?
I don't know, man.
There are other options.
Yeah, if you want to cop a buzz, there are other options that have less violent, severe side effects. Like, I like things that have side effects of I'm going to roll through a sleeve of Pringles.
Yeah.
You know? Or I'm going to
eat 8 Locos Tacos
sitting on the floor of my living room. Yeah. Those side effects are good.
But the face-eating ones.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do that. I don't want to do that.
All right, coming up next.
That's like munchies of the severest order, is when you're so hungry that you have to eat somebody's face.
Yeah, like I'm so hungry I could eat my arm.
I'm so hungry
I could eat your face.
That guy takes it seriously. He takes those terms literally.
Let's stay on the news page and talk about a story that was broken by Gordon Keith right here on the ticket about the rapper that took YOLO a little too far. That's next on the ticket. It's 12:18 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. It's the Orphanage. Dave and Danny with you until 1 o'clock today.
You're welcome.
You can thank SMU Texas A&M for this wonderful treat that you've been given. Coming up at 1 o'clock is the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD, and then coming up at 2 is live coverage from Ford Stadium of the Aggies and the Mustangs.
Let me ask you this quick question. Why doesn't Dick Hicks work the extra hour and do 2 hours of NASCAR CD? Because then our weekly ratings would even go lower than they are now. We drop from 3 to 4.
Well, I don't think there's 2 hours of NASCAR content.
Is there 3 hours of Orphanage content? No.
No, that's true.
That's been established over the years. Let the anus be on him.
He is our boss.
Eh.
Kind of. On the weekends especially he is. He's not necessarily your boss during the week, but mm-hmm. He's definitely my boss.
He's the weekend show wrangler?
Yeah. All right.
Cool, man.
So last segment we talked about the latest alleged bath salts incident from Pennsylvania. This next story is from California, and I heard it on the Musers with Gordon Todd Keith, who broke this story. At least in my world, he broke this story.
He was the first to report about it to your ears.
Yes.
Therefore, that story has been broken to you.
Yes, so he gets credit. So, you know, on the Twitter, you know, I follow my, you know, bands and people and
news sources
and record labels and whatever and stuff that I like. And most of it, you know, every once in a while there's a funny tweet in there. Most of it is like, you know, linking to content and stuff. Sometimes it's personal commentary, but there's like this whole Twitter subculture that I have no idea about, you know, that the kids with their Twitter lingo, you know, and their hashtags and, you know, there's a whole group of people, younger kids that are all into the Twitter, mm-hmm. and I have no idea about what they're talking about, and it's totally over my head.
Okay.
And one of those things is the hashtag YOLO, which...
you only live once.
You only live once.
But and that also has connotations to, like, high school kids will use that as a disguise for sex that's not in the traditional sense. It's like, you know how girls will save their virginity by doing sex in other places?
Right. Just they're saving just their front bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's from what I understand, if you see a trend of that, it's probably kids talking about doing that thing in that particular dark, sad area.
So, but was YOLO around? I mean, I know the expression "you only live once," but the acronym or abbreviation, was that around pre-Twitter, or is this a Twitter thing?
It seems like the hashtag YOLO has, I don't know, it's maybe the last couple of years. Some of you younger whippersnappers who want to hop on and help us old guys out.
Yeah,
me, man.
We're old enough.
Well, you're
touch.
Like, what, 24, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of against hashtagging, though.
Oh, okay.
It's right. Kind of stupid.
You trying to quit?
Yeah, I'm trying to quit. It's a bad habit.
Okay, well, this guy, his name is Irwin McInnes, and he was an aspiring rapper, which means he probably made some rhymes in his bedroom to a
garage band beat.
To a beat, yeah, a mixtape beat that he downloaded from the internet. But his stage name, if in fact he was ever on a stage, was Jules and Inky. And I don't know if that was just his name or if he was Jules and another guy was Inky, but J-E-W...
it'd be funny
apostrophe E-L-Z.
If the rap duo was actually Jules Holland and Pete Incaviglia.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would totally buy that.
That would be awful.
Jules Holland from Squeeze playing keyboards and then Inky's rapping over it. Pete Incaviglia.
Right.
Yeah, and Inky has an extra Y just because. All right, so... on September 2nd in Ontario, California, he's out partying with his bros. He is 21 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he's got three buddies with him, a 23-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 21-year-old. Oh, I guess there were five of them in the car, another guy, 23-year-old. So they're cruising around, and he's tweeting as they're driving around, and it says, drunk AF, which you can imagine what AF stands for,
mm-hmm.
going 120, drifting corners, hashtag F it YOLO. So he's doing, they're doing 120 drunk. And
he's
like
texting
and doing Tokyo Drift.
And he's tweeting while he's driving?
Right. And they say here in the story, it says, well, his tweet makes it sound as if he was behind the wheel. They say it was his buddy, Jonathan Watson, the 21-year-old, who was actually driving. So at some point, shortly after that tweet, There are five of them all packed into this 2005 Nissan Sentra.
How fast did he say it was going?
There's no way a Nissan Sentra with five dudes and it goes 120.
No. Not an 05. Thing's probably got 160,000 miles on it. It's probably never had the oil changed. I guarantee you they'll stop in an auto zone and go buy some freaking air freshener, though, while they're about 12,000 miles overdue on an oil change.
Right. And then, so the last tweet that was sent was at 1:20 a.m. Says, driving, tweeting, sipping the cup. F, YOLO, I'm turning it up. I guess he's writing rap lyrics while he's in the back seat of the Nissan Sentra. Just
sipping a cup, man. Yeah. Just sipping that cup.
Living forever. So the Nissan Sentra going however fast, whether it's 120 or they're just maxing out the Sentra at 85. But they run a red light. The driver loses control. The car slams into a wall, bursts into flames. Four of them die instantly. The other one dies on the way to the hospital.
Yodo.
You only die once. Wow.
So that's, I mean,
hey.
Certainly it's tragic, but it's, golly, they were asking for it. Just, it's taunting death.
It is taunting death.
Just, I'm so 21-year-old bulletproof. I can do whatever I want. I can go 120 in my Sentra with all my homeboys drinking gin and juice or whatever they're drinking.
So white. You're so white. Those crazy Africans with their gin and their juice. Driving around in their lowriders with their hydraulics.
No seatbelt on.
That's right. I'm white, Dave Lane. You crazy, arrogant rap artists.
Yes, you know, sometimes when I...
drinking your Courvoisier.
Sometimes when I'm just going from the house to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
I don't wear my seatbelt.
YOLO, bitch.
F it, YOLO.
I always wear my seatbelt, even when I'm just going to the grocery store.
They do say that most accidents happen within, what, a mile or 2 miles of your house?
Mm-hmm.
So, I need to do better about that.
Well, dang
so,
it. That's too bad.
Rest in peace, Jules and Inky.
Yeah.
Too bad we'll never hear your mixtape.
There could be a posthumous release.
Think so?
Yeah, what if it's, like, awesome and just changes the face of rap as we know it?
Oh, I guess I'm seeing now that YOLO was a phrase popularized by Drake in his song The Motto.
When did Drizzy's jams come out?
I don't know.
Okay.
You think I know anything about Drake?
Come on, Dave, you love Drake. That's all you talk about. Like, Drake, Drake, Drake. Can't get a word in edgewise with you. Call me at 2 in the morning. Hey, bro, just listening to Drake, seeing what you're doing. I'm tired of it, man.
All right, coming up next, I guess we're going to wrap up this dumb three-hour edition with some football ball talk, and I will promote something that we encourage you to listen to if you're not into NASCAR.
That we're afraid to play on the radio again.
It's too hot for the air. But I will tell you how to find it and what it is that's coming up next.
You're listening to The Orphanage, just getting milked dry on a Saturday.
Usually I don't mind that.
Yeah, but today it's different.
Man.
Good Lord.
Don't they know that we don't have 3 hours and 5 minutes in us?
What is the matter with these people? Anyway.
All right. Hang on. Vamp for a second.
I want you to promote this. Are you tweeting?
Yeah, I'm composing the tweet real quick.
All right. Well, was it last week?
No, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. I had to take off to go do some things, and G. Gordon Keith filled in. And you guys are live from our Cars and Coffee home of
classic BMW, first Saturday of every month. And you guys got on to a pretty insane topic. It was a crazy story about a guy in a pickup truck. He was driving around doing some erotic things to himself and to devices, and panties were involved. And I just listened to the entire segment, and we contemplated replaying it for you, but I don't feel good about it.
No.
Yeah. I can't believe, I don't want to draw any attention to it, because I don't want Kat going back and listening to it and y'all getting in trouble.
Right,
but
no.
How in the hell did that air?
I don't know.
Where was the governor back at the station going, guys, you can't do that. You two realize what a horrible job you did of policing yourselves.
Yeah, I know.
And you look so sad and pathetic today. You look ashamed. You should be.
I'm having a hard time with stupid Twitter.
I didn't even think twice about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was in here doing tickers too, but
I mean, I don't need to hear the word veins.
I think what it probably was.
Or rigid.
Or
ridge.
You know, it was Gordon doing the delivering, so you're like, okay,
I know,
all good.
I know, but when you go back and hear it, it's really frighteningly yeah. offensive. So anyway, the Unticket did an excerpt of the show and included that segment in it. And you can go there.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I'm having horrible pilot error problems here, but
are you not having good luck copying and pasting the link?
Yeah.
Are you having I mean, it'll shorten the link for you.
No, I'm having problems adding you and Gordon and,
oh, you don't need to put me on there. Do you?
Yes, I do.
But if you want to hear this, Dave's going to tweet it in a minute. If you happen to miss that a couple of weeks ago. But it's an unfortunate segment. And I really don't know what else to say about it other than give it a shot.
What's frustrating is...
What is your issue with Twitter right now?
I'm trying to put in yours and Gordon's addresses, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you let it autofill, like it brings up, you know, who it might be that you're trying to type in, and you click that,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't place it where you're typing it. It puts it at the beginning of the tweet, and I don't want that. It's making me angry.
Well, can't you somehow circumnavigate or circumvent the autocomplete?
Well, no, I have to type it in completely by hand, so that's what's taking so long, and I apologize.
Are you not a good typist? I figured you would be a really good typist, considering what you do for a living.
I'm okay.
Do you have to look at the keyboard?
No, but I'm not like textbook with using all my fingers. I use, you know, still kind of...
You don't stay on home row?
No.
I've actually gotten really good at typing, being around computers so much over the last 10 years.
Okay, so it has been tweeted.
All right.
So old waiver is...
Oh, there it is. It
up.
Just popped up, Dave. It just popped... Don't listen to this. Especially at 3130. Yes. You can... At Gordon Keith. At the Unticket. At old waiver. It's all up there. The best segment from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. So now that I've wasted all that time...
No.
Tweeting,
you're doing great.
Let's talk a little bit about football ball and game two of your Dallas Cowboys season.
Mm-hmm. Because we talked about game one last Sunday. That was fun. Good times beating up the Giants, reigning Super Bowl champs. But it's going to take a few weeks before we know anything about this team, and a good step in the right direction would be to go again on the road and beat a Seattle team tomorrow. Don't
yeah,
you
no,
think? That'd be
yeah,
a good step in the right direction, because if they lose tomorrow, then everybody's going to be like, oh, man, same old Cowboys.
Yeah,
but
I mean...
you got to remember, it's the NFL. Anybody can win, right?
Yeah, you just hear the name Seattle Seahawks, and you're like, oh, it's a,
I mean, I had to ask
pushover.
You, I had to ask you who their quarterback was.
Right, because they traded for Matt Flynn in the offseason, but then he was beaten out by the rookie Russell Wilson from Wisconsin. And so you think, okay, Seattle with a rookie quarterback, you know, should be pretty easy pickings. But you've got to take into account that they've got a good runner in Marshawn Lynch. They've got a good defense. They've got an outstanding home field advantage. So
they may have enough components.
Yeah, there's no given here.
to be pretty decent tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they should take care of business because I don't think that this team, with the way it's constructed, with the youth that they have and the leadership that they have, and the lessons that their head coach is consistently preaching, I don't think that overconfidence is going to be a problem with this team. Because what have they ever done? They have nothing to be overconfident about. So I don't think that you're going to have them fall flat on their face. I think they're going to be prepared. And if they're prepared, then they should be able to beat an inferior team, even in a hostile environment.
I hope you're right. I hope that there's enough voices of reason in that locker room between D-Ware and Witten and Tony to temper the enthusiasm that maybe some of the youngins had after beating the reigning Super Bowl champs last week. That, hey, it's one game, man. That doesn't mean a damn thing if we go out and crap the bed against Seattle. And it's true. You got to string these things together.
Yeah. And to be
you got to build on momentum. You got to create your own momentum.
And to be able to start out 2-0 for the first time in, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah.
And for both of those wins to be on the road would be a terrific start to the season. But again, then you've got your home opener the next week against Tampa Bay, and that looks like, you know, a similar caliber opponent to Seattle, but can't take that one for granted.
You can't take any of them for granted.
I mean, as much goodwill as they would have accumulated by winning their first two games on the road, if they come home and look awful in their home opener and lose at the Death Star to the Buccaneers, all the
your equity is gone.
Yeah, everything they built in the first 2 weeks would be down the toilet because everybody would be like, same old Cowboys.
So then as we sit here and talk about the parity in the NFL and that any team can beat anybody, and keeping all that in mind, you fully expect them to be 3-0, and anything less than 3-0 is going to be a disappointment.
I think so.
And
yes.
Is that just because they beat the Giants? Because you couldn't say that before the season started.
Yeah, you certainly had reason for cautious optimism going into the season, just because you have a healthy DeMarco Murray, you have a healthy wide receiving core, you have a improved defense with much improved corners, so you had reason to think that this year might be a little bit different.
Yeah, but you're still kind of standing there watching them with your arms folded, kind of still saying, prove it to me.
Right.
Well, let's see it.
But then
show it to me.
But then winning in New York in week one and beating the Super Bowl champs, that instantly raised the bar.
But isn't that kind of hypocritical to say that we expect them to be 3-0 when at the same time we're saying that, you know, that's all well and good. You beat the Super Bowl champs, but it's not that big a deal. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves here. We got to keep grounded. I mean, I guess there's a fine balance on keeping yourself grounded and being realistic about this league and what you have to do each week to prepare for each team, and being excited about, hey, maybe we're pretty good, and having confidence. Rather, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That there's got to be a balance between keeping yourselves humble, but also being confident without being dismissive of an opponent. And I think this team can ride that line.
I think that the leadership is in place, and the system, the expectation from the top, at least from Garrett, I think that that is set up for that to be the case, at least through this season.
What type of personality do you see this team having as it develops through this year? Because we remember the great days, the halcyon days of Cowboy football for us in our 20s when they were winning Super Bowls in the 90s. And the thing that was always said about this team is they've got a swagger.
Right.
Almost to the point of a cockiness, kind of like that University of Miami swagger, which a lot of these guys came from that part of the world,
right,
on this team and at that time. So it was kind of a natural thing. But do you, with Romo kind of maturing that we've seen, and with Witten being just a complete, you know, meat and potatoes guy, do you see this team kind of more taking on the countenance of Garrett, where it's very, very down the middle, and it's we're here to work, and we're here to bust ass, and yeah, if we score a touchdown, we're gonna high five and have a good time. But this is a, do you see this as kind of a working man's blue collar team that's just gonna tend to their business?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a business like approach and a focus on work ethic. I mean, outside of maybe Dez Bryant, there's not a guy on this team that is a hey, look at me guy. Everybody that is in a key role on this team is deferential to their teammates. You know, they just work hard. They show up and they try and do their assignment and do it to the best of their ability.
Yeah.
And so I don't see success corrupting that, at least within this year.
I couldn't agree with you more. And the only guy that I do worry about, the loose cannon, the wild card, is Dez.
Yeah.
And I just hope that that kid can get it through his skull and grow up a little bit this year, that the way you've been living your life hadn't been working. The people that you hang out with,
quit YOLOing,
have not been helping you. The choices that you've made in a lot of areas of your life have not benefited you. So listen to these veterans. You know, these guys go out there and play their game by example. Man, that's what you need to be focused on. Don't worry about buying jewelry and running up credit card bills and all the off-the-field crap and saying stupid things.
There's something in the morning news today that I think sums up what we're talking about as far as the attitude with this team. That a quote from Rob Ryan, that he's only talking to the media once a week, mm-hmm. and that's a self-imposed restriction.
Beautiful.
He decided that, you know, last year he was a little too boisterous, and he wants to take the attention away from himself. So here's his quotes. He says, I'm just trying to do the right thing. I don't think I need to be a distraction for this football team. There's a way the Dallas Cowboys do things, and I think that's a professional way to do it. I don't need to be outspoken out there. I'm going to let our players do the talking. It's time to quit talking and start doing something. That's what we all buy into as a defense. And I think that's what they all buy into as a team.
Mm-hmm. So who is quoted saying that?
Rob Ryan.
Okay. I thought you said that was Dez.
No,
saying
no.
That. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That's the most genius thing that kid's ever done.
If only he had said that. But no, hearing that from Rob Ryan is almost as good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think tomorrow should
hearing
be
that
fun.
From the guy that said, F yeah, go for it, F face. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we limp to the finish line and press play on the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD.
So your mama doesn't like Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Well, your mama's so fat, she puts mayonnaise on her aspirin.
I've got a cat that's playing hard to get.
What?
Was out sitting on my front porch the other night, and this cat shows up. I've never seen it before. And it's just kind of hanging out, and, you know, the cat will rub against your leg. And it was a real clean kitty. It looked like it might have belonged to somebody, but it
didn't. No collar?
Yeah, no collar. But it you could tell this wasn't some street cat or a feral cat. And we made friends, and I gave it some milk, and it seemed very happy about that. And it would kind of leave for a bit, and then come back and visit, and then leave again. And then it left, and it never came back that night. I was like, okay, well, I understand. Hit it and quit it. I get it. And then the other night, I'm driving home, pull into my driveway, and there's that cat just kind of looking at me. And sees my headlights, and just kind of just walks off. Like, I don't need you. But it's hanging around.
Right. It knows that if it shows up, that you're going to feed it something.
Yeah, I'll talk to it and say, here, kitty, kitty, and rub its neck and give it some milk. But it's not sticking around. It's just kind of...
You're probably just one of a dozen Johns.
I know, but do you think am I coming on too strong with the cat?
You've got to be as aloof as the cat is.
I've got to play this cool, yeah. Right? Like, I'm like maybe not call the cat for 3 days after I gave it the milk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I really like this cat. And I don't want it to get away and like somebody else more than me before I have a chance to make that cat mine.
But you don't want it to, like, actually come inside your house, do you?
No, I just want it to hang out every once in a while and be friends with me.
Just keep you company late nights on your front porch?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I feel my feelings for this cat are developing to the point where if I can't have this cat, then no one can.
So there's going to be a string of cat murders? And you'll finally get to do that story on
every string quick hits. Every string of cat murders starts with one. Keep that in mind, cat. So,
well, maybe you just need to. I mean, like I said, don't try too hard. Uh-huh. But maybe
I think, you know what the problem was. I think I tried too hard on the first night that me and the cat hung out, because when I gave it some milk and it liked the milk, but then I gave it a half of a piece of turkey bacon, and it didn't want to have anything to do with that. It's like, dude, come on. It was like it was too much too soon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but
or maybe the cat only likes real bacon.
Or maybe just bust out a can of tuna next time, or some fancy feast.
Oh, yeah, I've got tuna at the house. I could do that. Cats love that stuff, right?
Yeah, I think that cat...
Do they prefer it packed in oil or water?
I'm sure water.
Okay.
Although oil might make his coat nice and shiny.
I just want to do everything right for this stray cat.
What happened to you?
What do you mean? What happened to me? What happened to you?
This isn't like something that cool band Danny should care about. Why?
We had a connection. We made friends. And sometimes when it's late at night, you're lonely. You need a companion, Dave.
Just to care about what a stray cat thinks about you is kind of vaginal.
Now you've hurt my feelings.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're so sensitive now.
It's this extra hour. It's
put me, I know.
It's put me on my radio period.
Well, thank God, because we're done.
We're done!
3, 2, 1, race week.